Welcome to the DDT Archives. I am Chris. With me, as always, is my tag team partner in podcasting, my best friend, everybody's best friend, Greg. Greg, what's going on, man?
I am giddy. It's been a good day, so I'm giddy. And I get to play golf tomorrow, so I'm even more giddy, and I haven't been able to play golf in a while. So, like, this is just, like, the week from heaven. I'll say that right now. It's good times.
Oh, it is a good week.
It is a good week.
It's definitely been a good week. And the Indy Lounge is only going to get a little wilder today. We are going to bring in Youth Gone Wild. The Gold Girls and Glory, the man to bet on, Bam Bam Malone. Bam Bam, what's going on?
Oh, man, how's it going?
Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better.
Good.
Let's take a hard left turn right out, out the gate, and instead of talking the easy stuff about wrestling, let's talk some music.
Okay.
So, I know Greg's got the perfect question to start this off.
All right, so like me, you are a big fan of 80s 90s metal, is that right?
Absolutely.
All yes. Right, top five your favorite hair bands, go.
Oh god, I kind of felt like that was coming.
I telegraphed that, damn it.
top five, I've got to Skid Row is the first one.
Figured you were going there.
Yeah, they were towards the end of the hair metal where they were not necessarily transitioning to grunge, but, you know, they weren't wearing as much makeup and, you know, it wasn't so much of a show as it was, you know, more about the music. Also, Guns N' Roses, I'll have to go with them too. You know, a lot of people don't even consider them a hair band, which I don't see how you can't consider them a hair band, but I got to be basic and say Def Leppard.
Nothing basic about Def Leppard.
Def Leppard. Faster Pussycat.
Nice.
Faster Pussycat fan.
That's a, you know what? That's a good out of the realm of what people usually say.
Yeah.
So I like that selection.
Well, I mean, their first album to me was just as sleazy as Appetite, you know, for Destruction. I think there's no reason why that band shouldn't have blown up more than they did. And then I got to give it to Rat and Roll, man. I've been on a Rat kick lately, and like my fucking Spotify is like nothing but Rat like the last 2 or 3 months, man, just adding every single Rat song I can find. So I got to throw Motley Crue too. I guess they can make the honorables, but can't leave them out. Yeah.
So I'll break down your list a little bit. So Skid Row, for me, Sebastian Bach is probably in the top three best rock singers of all time.
Best voices. I went to see him live last October at a place here in Dallas, Gas Monkey, and dude, a tornado touchdown on the other side of the highway when the opening band was like mid-set, like I don't know, 3-4 songs in. They just, like, it almost looked like it was planned. Like, it started raining a little bit, so everybody was kind of a little sketched out about the weather. And all of a sudden, as soon as their song ends, boom, whole entire place loses power. So everybody's kind of looking around. They're like, you know, is this planned? Like, is this part of the set? And then all of a sudden, dude, like, out of a movie, like, boom, like, the hardest rain, wind shit I've ever seen. And then, no lie, dude, I'm looking across the highway, and I'm seeing Transformers pop. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The tornado touched on the other side of the highway. So, needless to say, I did not get to see Sebastian Bach. So, I was very let down.
He, like, years ago, he was on Broadway.
He was.
He starred in, crap.
Was it
Jekyll and Hyde?
I was going to say Jekyll and Hyde, yeah.
And that's hard enough to do. And then, for me, Def Leppard, probably musically the best. Those guys were great musicians. Joe Elliott could sing his ass off.
I mean, every single one of their albums, you can just play from start to end.
Yeah,
you
know, and they hold up.
Yeah.
So, Def Leppard, this is where I could chime in. Mm-hmm. So, I went last year, right around this time, with my wife to go see Billy Joel.
Okay.
Right after Def Leppard got elected into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He brings out Joe Elliott, and him and Billy Joel sing. And it was just fucking insane.
Nice.
Pour Some Sugar on Me has never sounded so incredible.
Yeah,
it
man.
Was
like
nuts.
I saw those guys. They came through 2015. And yeah, like it was awesome, man. A Tesla opened up for them.
Ooh.
Tesla's amazing as well. If yeah. you've never seen them live, man, they're awesome. But yeah, it was awesome seeing, you know, between Tesla and Def Leppard, it was a pretty good show.
And then I'll go with your pick of Rat, and I'll tell you what, this folds into movies, mm-hmm. but the best end credit song in the history of film is Nobody Rides for Free, the end of Point Break.
Yep.
It is badass mm-hmm. all the way through. That's one of my favorite movies of all time, so I don't care if anybody thinks I'm crazy. That movie is awesome. And if we didn't have that movie, we do not have Fast and the Furious, all 17 of those freaking movies.
Exactly.
Because it's the same damn film.
I know.
Not exactly. as good. And I'll tell you what, that's one of those movies that's like, for me, if it's on, I gotta watch.
You gotta watch. You
I can't got yeah. from wherever I hit on it. It's like yeah. okay, well, my evening's ruined. I gotta watch the end of flipping Point Break, but I gotta watch it to the end because that Rat song kicks, and you're just like, oh, it's like,
well, dude, Rat is having a little bit of a comeback
with that they commercial. A, yeah,
yeah. Well, Round and Round was in the top 10 of the Billboard. Was it like the hard rock songs? It was like number 6 or 7. I'm like, dude, that is insane. Like, it's yeah. like. When the Dirt came out, that Motley yeah. Crue movie, they had an album in the top 10. You know, like, it's insane. I don't know. It's just cool as shit to see stuff like that happen, man. Like, rock yeah. and roll is never going to die. Like, as cheesy nope. as it sounds, like, it never will. Like, you know, look at Guns N' Roses. They just had this multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar tour that I think they're still doing. So, you know, I don't think it's ever going to stop.
But that's the thing. It's we can tie this back into wrestling. It's the classics never die, man. No, when you're man. That good and you can do this forever, it doesn't go away.
No.
And I mean, rock music like that isn't put out at all anymore.
Mm-mm. No.
It's either country music, super heavy metal, or it's pop. There's
now,
nothing.
Have you guys ever listened to Steel Panther?
I'm familiar with Steel Panther. I know of them. I've heard uh-huh. some of their stuff, but
probably the funnest concert I've ever been to, man. Like, insane. And that's probably the closest to, which, I mean, they're a little bit of a parody band, you know, whatever, but that's probably closest to the thing. Like, chicks, like, on shoulders flashing, like, they have a song called 17 Girls in a Row. They legit picked out 17 chicks from the crowd, brought them up to the stage. Like, that was cool. So that's probably, like, the closest thing I can maybe think of. But, yeah, man, like you said, yeah, there's just not a whole lot of that around anymore, which I don't know. You know, everything kind of circles back around. What's old is new again. So maybe we'll see a little bit more of that soon, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
You were telling us a little bit off air, and we're going to bring it in, that you have some musical inclination yourself when you were younger.
No, dude, I was in choir for the girls. I'm not going to sing for you. I'm not. we got to go to Disney World, and there were some hot girls in choir. So, of course, I had to be a part of that.
So I can relate to that. See, I went to a all-boys Catholic high school.
Oh,
and
no. Okay.
It was okay. It was fine.
Yeah.
I had a blast. I've had made friends for life.
Of course.
It's like this weird fraternity, right? So, but we had our school plays, like the musicals we did every year, were you can only be from our school if you were a guy and be in it. But we got all the best girls from around all the outlying areas because we were a private high school.
Okay.
So it was like, you know, girls that were the stars of their own school's production were in like the chorus of ours. And every one of them was better looking than the other. We just kind of had, it was this, and that's why we all did it, because that was the best way to meet girls. It was to do the plays. If you did stage crew, if you did the lighting, if you were in it, it didn't matter. It was just, you were stuck in a room with like 25 cool girls for hours for like 4 months. Like, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I wish I went to Catholic school.
It had its moments. We got away with a lot. Discipline didn't exist there.
The only thing that can make these stories better is if we find out you played lacrosse and your nickname was Oz.
No.
Yeah, good old American
Pie. American Pie reference?
Because there's some kid that's 16 going, what the fuck is that guy talking about?
Once again, study the classics.
I know.
So let's talk a little wrestling now. Let's go back on track for a few minutes before we get off again. Talk to us a little bit about your career trajectory, because, you know, we obviously know recently you changed up your name, threw Greg for a loop when you became Bam Bam.
I'm fascinated by name changes, by the way, so we can talk about that a little bit when you're ready.
Yeah, no, I've actually always been Bam Bam, man.
Okay.
Yeah, from the start. What else did you know me as?
Well, it was some of them are Chase Malone. Like, I'm looking up your matches. Oh, okay. And doing the research and whatever, my homework on you.
Yeah, so it's funny. I've always, ever since I wrestled, you know, my first wrestling name, and this is a gimmick I came up with, I was 17, so I wanted to be the Teen Dream. So to me, the Teen Dream, you come out like with the Letterman on, you have like the hot cheerleader chicks. So that's what I wanted to do. Well, that ended up transitioning to, I needed to be more of like a mean type character. So that's where Bam Bam came from. So I've always ran with Bam Bam Malone. And for the first few months of my career, man, I had the hardest time with promoters promoting me as Chase Malone. And I was like, guys, I don't want to be known as Chase Malone. It's Bam Bam Malone. So that's funny that you brought that up. Because, yeah, man, like, for the longest. And yeah, I guess there's still some stuff out there on YouTube that uses my shoot name.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's a great story, though.
Good.
It's funny. Because, so where did Bam Bam come from? Is it your likeness to the cartoon character? Is it your love of Bam Bam Bigelow? Is it just...
Man, honestly, you know, my shoot name, my real name is Chase Malone. I was going to be Blake before. So my full name is Chase Allen Malone. Well, I was going to be Blake Allen Malone. And my initials were going to be Bam. So obviously my parents wanted to call me Bam Bam. So growing up, even wrestling on the trampoline and stuff, I was always Bam Bam Malone. So it's just something that I stuck with, and I wanted to make it stick. So that's what I ran with it.
Oh, that makes sense to me. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's cool too, man, because like I've gotten to know Miranda Gordy, you know, Bam Bam Terry Gordy's daughter. So, you know, it's cool hanging out with her. Her dad was one of the original Bam Bams, you know, so... Definitely have to step my game up when she's at a show.
We're always a big fan of him. We've on our old school podcast, we've talked about him a lot of times, and one of those underrated, fantastic talents that have ever graced the squared circle is Bam Bam Gordy, for sure.
Absolutely.
And that dude started, he was 16 and on television.
Yeah,
fake IDs and shit.
I know.
Talk to us about your friendships that you've made in wrestling, because I saw a picture of you and Jackson Stone and Andy Dalton the other day.
Yeah.
And you guys look like the pack of friends.
Yeah, man. So Jackson and I broke in together. We tagged, you know, kind of right off the bat. When I first got my start, I started through a Christian organization. It's a Christian Wrestling Federation based out of Rockwall, Texas. I started with them. I trained with them close to a year. And then from there, I went to MPX, Metroplex Wrestling in Bedford, Texas. That's where I met Jackson. We kind of hit it off right from the start. And then we ended up actually getting thrown together as a tag team, but it ended up working really well. We complemented each other very well. That's where we came up with BB&J. We're Bam Bam Malone, Jackson Stone, BB&J. So then that's how him and I became friends. One of my trainers was actually my high school football coach, Brett Barnes. He was Brett Idol. He was trained by Booker T down in Houston. He introduced me to Andy. He hit up Andy Andy being the veteran he is around Texas, he hit up Andy and was like, hey, you know, I got this young kid coming in, keep an eye out for him, you know, help him out. And Andy really did. He really helped helped me, you know, get a good rubbing with all the guys, and he really helped push Jackson and I along once we started becoming a tag, and he would take us out on the road and get us booked on shows. And so us three stayed pretty tight from the beginning of my career on.
Yeah, we love Jackson, man. He's been on us with us twice now, right? So
yeah. Such a good dude, man. Yeah. I love Jackson.
That might be the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
terms of him being a good dude. Like that's
yeah.
He's the best. Like,
yeah.
I like to refer to him as my most influential Twitter follow.
Yeah.
Cause no matter what he tweets, I'm just like, okay, I'm better for reading that.
Yeah, exactly, man. And he's, you know, he's got a really good mindset for the business, and not even, you know, just for the business, but I'm glad to see him branching out, especially with all the mental health awareness stuff after, you know, his sister passed away. So it's really cool to see him really find his niche. And I think this is his thing, man. I think this is what he was meant to be doing. So, you know, I'm definitely really happy for him.
Talk to us a little bit about, you know, the independent wrestling scene in Texas and that general area.
It's popping, man. Like, there's so many promotions around here. I have to say probably my favorite promotion off the bat would be MPX, you know, around here, especially in the Dallas area. But, you know, Texas has so many promotions. I go every other month down to Lubbock, Texas SCP Squared Circle Pro, and they actually have like an internet pay-per-view type deal that they do every other month, and they do, you know, really well with that, and they pack out the shows, and it's really cool, man. It's in like a bar type atmosphere, so you can kind of cut loose, like have fans buy me shots after my match, and you know, so. And then, you know, you go to the complete opposite spectrum with the Christian Wrestling Federation. I started out there when I was 17, really because I couldn't really train, you know, really anywhere else because I was 17. So I was able to get my parents' permission to do that. And then having Brett, you know, chip in a word for me too really helped. But there's all over the place, man. And like, you know, there's some shit promotions, and then there's some really, really good promotions like the three that I mentioned before. So, yeah, it's crazy. Texas is flooded with talent. It's insane.
That's funny. Buying shots after the show. See, man, that's rock star stuff right there.
Dude, I was born in the wrong generation, man. There's literally no other way to put it. Like,
no, you were born in the right generation to bring that back.
Well, I'm here to make the youth wild again. That's what I'm here to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
As well you should.
Love it.
Yep, that's it, man. Man, you know, I came up with that slogan, make the youth wild again. When Trump started running for president, make America great again. And for a little while, and I may still do it if nobody steals this idea when I say it, but I wanted to do kind of like a presidential campaign, like, you know, bring Bam Bam to your town to make the youth wild again, you know, Bam Bam 2020.
That's fantastic.
It's a great idea.
When you get those signs, you got to send one to us.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the front lawn.
We'll put it in the studio.
And I even wanted to make, you know, kind of like Make America Great Again hats, but I'd like do a complete ripoff, but make the youth wild again. So almost like, you know, when you're out in public, people kind of give you the look until they actually read the hat.
Yeah. New York, I might get stabbed though.
Yeah. maybe not there. I'll print you guys off something else.
Now I'm going to be thinking about that. Like how can we pull that off? What would be cool, like, subtle homage type logo to do that.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I'll think of something.
You're thinking too hard. You're going to get a headache.
No, I'm good. I'll figure it out by like the end of the show. It's fine.
Yeah, there we go.
So you were talking about your tag team with Jackson. Do you prefer working singles or do you prefer tagging?
They're both a lot of fun, man. The tag matches have a lot more that go into them, so to me, tag matches are harder. I would say maybe I do prefer the tag matches, just not only just tagging with Jackson, but, you know, I've tagged with Andy. before I was a part of DTF, his Down to Fight stable. I did some shows with him, like Louisiana and Mississippi, and that was always a good time. And it seems like the tag matches are more fun. Like I said, the difficulty of them is a little bit harder putting them together. But yeah, I would have to say, yeah, probably a tag match.
What is your short of them buying you shots? Talk to us about your best fan interactions and what those look like.
The best fan interactions aren't always good reactions. I've had old ladies spit at me before. I've had dudes wait out in the parking lot for me. I have to wait for everybody else to leave the show before I can be escorted out by security. That was a fun one. That was in Cypress, Texas, now by Houston. And I did a Falls Count Anywhere match with Byron Wilcott, Big Daddy Yum Yum. And he is so over in the Houston area. It is ridiculous. And I just completely shit on all the fans, everything, man. And I went over cheap. I think I went over with a chair shot or something. And this one guy was just not having it, man. And he was, sure enough, he was waiting out in the parking lot for me. That, like, bam, you may not want to leave yet, man, because I'm not sure if he would make it out in one piece.
That's like that old school nuclear heat, yeah, man. That's all.
Absolutely, man.
Hard. That's hard to do in present day.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to be the cool heel. Why?
Exactly. Yeah. That is the best statement ever. I don't understand why people want to be the cool bad guy. Be the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's got to be the most fun.
Hang on.
Yeah, and it's just, everybody wants to sell merch and everybody, wants to sell their gimmicks, and I get it, but like there's a little bit of a lost art of being a true heel. I think The Miz is probably a really good example of that. I think The Miz is probably one of the few true heels. Even MJF, I mean, as entertaining as the guy is, you can't help but watch and just hate that dude, man. So
Is that a fear out there, do you think? Because I've asked a few of our past guests this. It's because you're your own brand, right?
Of course.
And like, as you alluded to before, is there that sense of, well, I have to come across a certain way on social media. I'm trying to sell my stuff. I'm trying to get signed. Like, I can't, like, is there an inherent fear of really going to not a super dark place, but at least a place where you can build a good heel rapport with the fans?
Yeah. I mean, there's heat and then there's cheap heat, like, I try to stay away from the cheap heat. I want to make you hate me by what I do in the ring, not by, cursing you up and down. And, there's just a difference. So I think you maybe want to stay away from the cheap heat. Maybe that's where a lot of these guys get themselves in trouble, because they're just looking for the quick pop, as to, actually knowing how to tell a story and letting it build.
Because I'm always been critical of how fans act nowadays, because just like the performers have a job, so do the fans. And I think it's, do you find it irritating to see, because I know I do as a fellow fan, how like they will just overly cheer an obvious heel and not accept the fact that that guy's a dick. We can't stop. We can't cheer for him.
Yeah. I mean, like the whole smart fan mentality. Yeah,
exactly.
We'll get
it.
Everybody, when you buy that ticket, you are there to have a good time, and you can literally react, interact however way, for the most part, however way you want to. Don't get physical with the guys, of course, but like, if you're a good baby face, you're going to be able to turn the crowd. If you're a true heel, you're going to be able to turn the crowd. So, and it just comes back to that. Everybody wants to cheer the cool heel instead of booing the heel that nobody likes, man. Like, yeah, I mean, I understand it. I mean, trust me, I've been a baby face out there and got booed out of the fucking building. So I get it before. Like, I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect. Like, I understand, but that just means you have to better yourself. It's not the fan's fault. And
yeah.
And everything evolves, you know, it's not old school anymore. There's mm-hmm. you know, you have to get their attention so much quicker now than you used to. So yeah, it's just changing, you know.
Yeah.
Evolution.
The wrestling fan better change or it's going to perish.
I don't agree with that. I think it's not that they need to change. It's just they have to relax.
Yeah.
It's not. That's the only way they have to change. The passion's there. I appreciate that. But I've said this before, I've never in my life in 30 years of watching wrestling worried about how somebody was booked. Like, these buzzwords that are out there is what gets me. Like, I've never, yes. like, I've just, like, I watch a show, I'll be like, that match was really good. I like that. What's next? And I'm not sitting there seething over the fact that, like, oh, they should have done that. This fantasy booking crap has to, like...
That's it, yeah, and that does bother me a little bit, is, like, you know, if you really hate the product that much, stop watching. But I guarantee you, you're going to pay your $9.99 next yeah. month and continue to watch a bitch battle on Facebook. You know, like
yeah.
everybody's a fantasy booker now. And it almost makes me feel sad, because I'm like, you know, at one point you weren't this way. You were that kid sitting there watching and so enthused with what you're watching on television. Why can you not still tap into that? It's just sad to me, almost, you know.
It is. You should never, you want to, and that's where it comes to, even as us as content creators, you know, we want to tell stories. We want your story to get out and learn about the man that is Bam Bam Malone. And I think mm-hmm. the sad part about it is we've, as a collective, stopped being fans and started to become critics.
Exactly.
And that's where I cannot cross over to that side. Are we critical of some things? Yeah.
But of course, which you should be. You know, like yeah. I said, you bought your ticket to watch the show, or you pay your $9.99 to watch whatever mm-hmm. network you watch. Like, you should be, but also don't get so worked up about it. Like, yeah. it's, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's television. Like, it's yeah. there to entertain you.
Like, that's the thing, and that's what broke me, you know, coming off, like, you know, the hyperbole behind, like, that greatest match of all time thing this week. And it was mm-hmm. like, people are and I don't live tweet anything, because I mm-hmm. feel like I'm not watching it. I'm watching my phone. Like, that does no service to exactly. the people that are performing. It does no service to me. And people are like tweeting like 5 minutes into the match, this sucks. What is going on? I'm like, they got like 40 minutes left. Can
yeah,
you
calm down? Watch. They're going to get where they're going. You know, two of the best professionals to ever step foot in the ring, man. Like, in my opinion, Randy is probably the best worker around today, you know, out of any major company, you know? So that part is frustrating. I do get that. Like, I wish people would somewhat stop being so critical, but then I kind of contradict myself, because yeah. hey, you know what, like, you're the fan, so yeah. you have a voice, you have an opinion. But
yeah, but that's the thing, it's not being contradictory when you just want them to just chill out. It's gonna yeah. be it's gonna be okay. There's gonna
don't
be a show tomorrow, and I'll tell you right now,
yeah,
Chris, you know where I'm going with this, because you just mentioned Randy Orton. I hate Randy Orton. I love hating Randy Orton. I love to hate him, because
okay.
And Chris, he explained it to me one time that it finally clicked. And I was like, because I asked him, I was like, why do you think I just can't take him? And he's like, it's because he's so good and he makes everything look so easy, and you hate his guts for it. And I'm just like, yeah, that's
the
it.
The only rational answer out there. The dude is smooth in everything he does. He is the ultimate professional in terms of when he gets in the ring. Yeah, he's got some backstage baggage from when he was 23 years old. I'm sorry. When you're 23, you act stupid.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Randy hate, other than you just straight up, it comes too easy. I personally love Randy Orton. I have since yeah. he debuted.
But I respect him.
He's exactly,
amazing.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I can't even explain it. It's such a bizarre feeling.
I just don't like face Randy.
Oh, he's terrible.
Not a good guy. He can't be a good guy.
So
no.
So Bam, I got to ask you that because we are an old school podcast and. Who are your guys? I know this is cheesy and I hate asking this question because it's so freaking generic, but like...
Cheese away, man.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you. Thanks, buddy. You're the best. Who are your guys? Like, who is a guy that you can go back and just watch over and over and over again?
Orton is one of them. To me, and you know, I saw a lot of people giving him criticism. I like how slow and methodical he is.
Definitely.
It makes every little thing mean more. So especially when I'm trying to work more of a heel, I try to almost replicate that. You know, I try to slow down, pick a body part, you know, make everything mean more, not just jump right next to the next thing and wonder what my next 12 spots are, you know. Randy's one of them. I'm a huge Ziggler mark, man. Like, I love Ziggler. Like, I guess we're similar with, you know, everything. Even when I first broke in, I got called Baby Ziggler all the time. So, yeah, I could go back and watch Ziggler. HBK, for sure. I just remember being a kid, like, you know, 02, 03, 04, when he was really coming back around, man. So, and then, you know, and honestly, everybody gives him hate, man. But I love John Cena, dude. John Cena's a man. Like, mm-hmm. You don't stay at top of a company for that long and not be good. You know,
yeah, for sure. Like, it's so funny because I love when people bring up 02 Shawn Michaels, because we got to see his comeback match, we got to see him win the title at Survivor Series that year. We were in the building for both of those shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was like, it was killer. And I'll tell you what, man. Flip side of that with the Ziggler thing, and Chris will vouch for me on this, the most disappointed I've ever been. And as I, you know, 5 minutes after criticizing fantasy booking, I was so disappointed we were at WrestleMania 29 and and you wouldn't have known it on TV. The crowd was waiting for him to cash in that night.
They thought it was going to happen. Yeah. Well, I mean, it happened
the next day. Night, right? Yeah. And we weren't at that Raw, but we were at WrestleMania the night before, and just the buzz in the building throughout Swagger and Del Rio.
Yeah.
Right?
It would have been, yeah.
And the buzz around the building that, like, during that match was, you could feel it. And you were just like, oh, is this going to happen? That would be, this place is going to explode. And it happened the next day. And we were just, I was like, oh, man, missed it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it was still huge. I mean, when it did huge. Happen, you know, it was still huge. He's the man. Like, I definitely think he's not credited. You know, as much as he should be. I mean, the dude sells his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no other way to put it. And
one of the best.
He gets a lot of criticism, I guess, too, for, you know, being so similar to Shawn Michaels. But wouldn't you want to be similar to one of the greatest of all time, too? So,
oh, yeah.
I don't see that being much of a knock.
Now, Ziggler is another one, just like Randy. He's so smooth in the ring that it's hard not to love what he does.
Yeah,
you know? And you could tell he enjoys what he does too.
He does. I think he does. Yeah.
And so that's a big part of it.
And I can only speculate because I don't know a damn thing about what goes on in a ring outside of being a fan. But like, if you're a bigger guy, you gotta love working with a guy like that because he'll just flop around forever.
Yeah, man, he's gonna make you look like $1 million. So how can you hate on him?
Yeah.
Like, what are your ultimate goals in your pro wrestling journey?
Man, I want to take this thing as far as I can. You know, that's really the only specific goal I can say. I'd love to make this, you know, what I do for a living. That's definitely probably, you know, my next goal. And my number one goal ultimately is I want to be a professional wrestler for a living. You know, whether that's signed with, you know, such and such company or such and such, you know, wherever I end up is where I'm supposed to be. But I want to do this for a living, man. That's my ultimate goal for real. Like, I love this. Like, I want to eat, sleep, breathe professional wrestling, man. I don't want to have to worry about a 9-to-5. I want, this is what I want.
Do you get that sense around at least your friends in the business or around the industry as a whole that is there comfort in knowing that there are a lot of options out there now that are start. It's not just WWE anymore. There's
there's
AEW, there's MLW, there's Impact, there's all them.
There's so many spots available now. You know, Sammy Guevara was a Texas kid, and you know he's doing so much in AEW now. So, like, you know, between sharing locker rooms with him and stuff, like, it makes a reality. Like, dude, look, like, this can really happen. Like, you have to make it happen, though. So there are so many spots available now. It's not so much WWE or bust. So you can, you know, between Ring of Honor, New Japan, AEW, NXT, you know, there's Impact. There's so many options out there. So yeah, it's a good time. I personally believe it's a good time to be a professional wrestler in the business, just because there are so many opportunities. And once a door opens for somebody else, well, then you just need to be right there to wait for the door to open again. So you got to make your own opportunities, of course. But yeah, there's so much room in the business for growth for everybody.
It's a great time to be a fan to see guys like you, you know, work your ass off to try to make it to the whatever level you're trying to get to. And you seem like such a cool dude that we can only hope for the best for you. And
yeah, man.
Let's end it on this note. What do you want the fans to know about you that you haven't put out there yet? And then get out your social media and everything that you want to promote.
Man, ultimately, you know, one of my number one, you know, I don't really want to say mottos, but what I kind of live by, man, is like, life is too short, dude. Like, you have to do what you want to do, but you also have to completely enjoy what you're doing while you're doing it. Work hard, play hard, baby. You know, like, I'm going to bust my ass in a ring, but I guarantee you I'm going to go out and hang out with you after the show too. And we'll go, you know, drink and do whatever, man. Like, have fun. Like, I want to have fun, but I do also take this very, very seriously. So this, like I said, you know, this is what I want to do ultimately, but also I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it. You know, I'm going to be relaxed and hang out with the boys and make friends and even hang out with the fans. You know, like, I don't ever want anybody to be, you know, afraid to come up and approach me and buy me a drink. You know, man, like, all this is ultimately supposed to be for fun. So I don't want to lose track of that.
Can I end it on one more thing? I figured it out. I figured out the Gone Wild thing.
Oh, let's hear it.
I got it. I cracked it. Playoff, the girls gone wild. You just videotape fans losing their shit. That's,
man,
your...
You know, I wanted to do something similar to that, and it's a spin off of Motley Crue. Do you remember when Tommy Lee had the crowd cam, the booby cam?
Yep, yep.
I wanted to do something. I mean, I don't know if I could have people in the crowd flashing or whatever, but I wanted to do something similar to that. Come out to the ring with a camera and get everybody on camera. So it's funny that you said that. Yep.
I'm only slightly proud of myself for that one, but I had, but I made a promise to you that I would think of something at the end, and I had to come through for you, man.
And you fulfilled it, man. Love it.
And when we get out to Texas, we're taking you up on that drinks after a show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely, man. Out. Please.
We got to get out there. We've made a lot of Texas friends over the last few months.
We have.
Yeah, man.
Accidentally wound up with, obviously, we have the Northeast base, which is obviously where we're from. Mm-hmm. Then accidentally discovered Tampa, and we didn't realize how Tampa-centric we were until, like, we saw everybody we interviewed on one poster and went, oh shit. Yeah. And then the same thing with Texas. Like, I want to say every other person is from Texas.
Yeah, man. Texas is huge, and Texas has a lot of talent, man.
Without a doubt. So plug your social media, let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course on Facebook, Bam Bam Malone, the one and only one on there. Instagram, it's Bam Bam Malone 2727. And then on Twitter, we're C_Malone_827.
Awesome. We can't thank you enough for joining us. We definitely look forward to seeing, you know, where your career takes you, because you're super talented, really great guy. You got two fans for life.
Absolutely.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. You can follow us at DDT Archives on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris_DDTHSLB. And we're going to keep bringing you the best interviews and podcasts known to man. So jump on the ship now, because it's starting to set sail, and we don't want to leave you on shore.
And thanks again to our guest tonight, Bam Bam Malone. Thank you again, buddy.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.